This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good
morning.
Morning.
Hospitality.
There you go.
There we go.
Happy
there
Monday.
Look at you two. You two look so good. How was the weekend?
It was great. I started an inventory project. That's always fun. So, furniture.
Work or for home?
Oh, for work. Warehouse inventory.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm so jealous of that.
So jealous.
So jealous.
Brandy has the coolest job.
You'll get a kick out of this. I'm literally flying couch cushions from Miami to New Orleans that were missing because the lead time to get new ones is too long. So I'm literally flying with them as my luggage to New Orleans tonight.
Yeah. Is there any other purpose to go into New Orleans?
I have to do the inventory there. So we just got all this furniture, so I have to do that. But they were like, we need these cushions like sooner rather than later. I'm like, well, okay, that'll be my checked luggage.
What are we going to do about these cushions, guys? Oh, Brandy's on her way. She'll bring them. No worries.
The cushion mule.
I love, mule. I love well, the cushion mule.
I don't know about y'all, but I had some serious FOMO last week while people were at the Can Stays and at the Short Stay show.
I did.
A retreat at one of the storied castles. So, but they're done. We don't have to look at those photos anymore.
Congratulations to all the winners. That's always fun to get recognized by shotties. Your peers. All the
shout shotties. Out to Raphael Klein, our GMH Europe crew member who won. OVO Network won best leisure property management company. So that was exciting to see. And congrats to everybody else who also had won and taken home a big prize. Mr. Mark Simpson from Boostly, customer advocate of the year or customer champion. I don't remember all the titles and categories, but
there were like 28 categories this year. Yeah. So I heard it went on till midnight. I would have gone to bed. I go to bed early. But that's a lot of categories to pack in
for sure.
So it's got to be a two-night celebration, I guess, next year, Paul, if you're listening. Yep. I know you are. Yep. Make it two nights, twice the fun.
Yeah. Twice the fun, or start earlier. That's one thing too. You always start early, get the drinks flowing early. It's 3 o'clock, roll them out, let's go.
I do have to say, in regards to Can Stays, since that has finished, I've heard so many people say how well done that 100%. Was. So just big shout out to that whole team. Like, it's really difficult to pull off a conference, but a conference that everybody is positively talking about is another feat in and of itself. So
a first time conference and a first time destination for this type of conference, like big, big win.
Yeah.
Big win.
Yeah. I think a lot has to do with I wasn't there. I think they blended the audiences well, it sounds like, but I think the destination helps
doesn't hurt
lead the way, right? Yeah. And Antonio hosting the Vacation Rental World Summit has nailed this almost every year with doing it in fantastic, beautiful, small European cities, except for the Barcelona one. I think that's a great model for pulling people. Like, who doesn't want to go to Banff for work, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Does anyone want to take this one? It's like, no. Yeah. I'll pass. Too cold. Cool. Well, there was a little bit of news that that we can cover, and then we can jump into one of our core topics. Will, you want to start off with the awning?
Yeah. But first, I'm actually going to do, I didn't tell anybody I was going to do this, but I'm going to do a shameless plug shout out, because we signed another hotel in our management company. So we now have two hotels. I'm pretty pumped about it. I'll be stepping into a new role for, thank you. Didn't do any of the work, by the way. So don't congrats me. Adam Knight, my business partner, did all of it. So congrats to him. He's leading the charge there. But yeah, really excited for a new role that I'll be stepping into. So more to come in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
Back to the front desk. I go. Nice. It's well done, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Wanted to give him a shout out just because I know he's worked really hard for it. So outside of that, this company called Awning was acquired by Red Awning. So what's the difference, right? Awning is a property management company. So they help estimate revenue. They do long-term and short-term management. They also have other kind of services and data applications to the case. But they got acquired by Red Awning. There's no details on the financials as of yet. But from what we did read, Red Awning did hire and bring on about 50 of the Awning employees, and the founders will be staying on for the transition to help kind of make sure everything goes on smooth, but they won't be involved long term. So it'll be nice to see the kind of management services get applied to Red Awning. Red Awning mostly focuses on marketing, revenue management, and guest communications. So not as much of the turnover of the home and like the on the, you know, boots on the ground stuff. So complimentary business. Red Awning also has about 20,000 properties on their platform. So kind of interesting play. You know, going to be a lot of fun to watch. So stay tuned for more information on Red Awning in the future.
Yeah, they've pivoted around a few times through the years. Red Awning's been around for quite a while. I think they were in channel management first. And then they went to more Meta. It looks like they're pushing into the full-on property management side of things, which...
Yeah. During COVID, they acquired Jetstream. So if you know our friends at Jetstream, they were acquired by Red Awning during like that 2020 era. And then Jetstream actually bought them back. So it's the same type of services. It's very interesting play, but... Yeah, very, very fascinating company to see the amount of iterations they've gone through.
Yeah, I'm always curious these little, like these jumps that people make. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. Welcome to the operator side. and then speaking of operators, more of our PMS friends are jumping in to kind of work with operators. So HostAway announced they were doing STR funding through their PMS. And this comes after Guesty has a similar program. And I think this is going to continue to happen. You see these PMSs realizing, okay, like here's our core product. We can add all these bells and whistles, but what are like the real money makers? And that is payment processing and lending. And
as we talked about last week.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, these are maybe like, maybe you wouldn't have thought they would go this route, but they control, I think it makes perfect sense. And it'll just be interesting to see like how many people actually like make use of that. And then also the payment restructuring, it's usually like right after it's coming out of your distribution. So it's like, I think definitely if you're in like a little bit of an urgent cash gap, like this week or next week or something like that, like you really need some extra cash that you don't mind repaying immediately. But I don't know if this is like a long-term strategy. This should be like kind of like a short-term help fill in the hole kind of thing.
Yeah. And it is in partnership with Parafin. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering it. Parafin, I don't know. But it's in partnership with a capital partner. So that makes sense because I would be a little nervous or hesitant if my tech platform was like all of a sudden like this financial guru that's going to start loaning out money. So glad that's in partnership with an actual capital partner, but also that still, I don't know, like I'm in the same boat with you, Brandy, but it's like, okay, I kind of want my property management software to just get better. I don't know if I really need you to do loans for me right out the gate. Like, I kind of just want you to build better product or better features. But yeah, could be.
Well, I think the thing is that we'll see that they will be told by their customer base if this is something that's worth continuing to pursue. You know, if no one uses it, then it will probably just quietly go away. But you never know.
Well, hopefully it was the inverse. Hopefully their customer base is saying they wanted it and then they built the product versus slamming the product down people's throats. Yeah. It could be just a competitive thing to try and keep up with Guesty. But at the end of the day, I mean, giving access to capital is a good thing for the industry when the Hostaways and Guesties of the world are sitting on $100 million, right?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say before the call, you guys were talking about, you know, the property management softwares are the ones receiving a lot of the capital. So when they're receiving $130, $180 million, you got to find somewhere to put it. Well, they're the only capital activity right now, it seems like.
And net retention rates is basically the only metric that these big PMSs care about. And creating a financial product that makes people stay. Oh, you want a $500,000? Here, take it. Now you're locked in for the next 5 years. You know, whatever that may be.
I think the amounts are much smaller than that. I think
we all just started hitting up Hostaway for $1 million. Like, hey, you want to finance a podcast? Maybe Hostaway. Who knows? There's a couple options out there.
If you're looking for somewhere to put that money, I have a few spots that are open, taking offers.
we kid. But no, in all reality, it is an interesting play because, like we talked about last week, and you know, shout out to Terry White for bringing up the comment of how PMSs are getting into these other revenue streams like payments and now capital. I would be curious to see. Do you think, you know, to maybe give some context, I was talking with Andrew Kitchell last week on the tech landscape, and this is something we'll barely touch on this episode, but the tech landscape in the vacation rental, even hotel category, is pretty significant. There's 21 categories kind of planned and mapped out, but this now seems to be expanding as not just the core offering of being a property management solution, but now kind of being a business growth and business management solution. So I'd be curious if you guys think this is going to continue to evolve, or are we just going to kind of see it peter out?
I think so. I think the PMSs are the biggest tech companies like in the space, and they will continue to try to develop new arms and new revenue streams that make them more, you know, embedded in the ecosystem of their clients. Because as you said, that net retention rate is the most important. So if you have all of these tentacles in, then, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, if that comes off like it, but it's true. Like, you want to make yourself as sticky as possible.
100%. 100%. Well, speaking of making yourself as sticky as possible, let's talk about our partners at Sojo, who make the guest experience so sticky that they'll never, ever want to book an OTA property again. They'll want to book directly with you because your brand's a hero. That's why you partner with Sojo, put your logo on these amenities. It's incredible. It's automated. So even when you think you have everything planned out, you don't have to worry because it's just going to work out with Sojo and their direct integration to your calendar to make sure that your amenities are delivered on time. So go to getsojo.com/GMH to get 30 days for free. Shout out to Sojo. All right.
You're the segue king.
Well, hey, Will. Just, I love the live ad reads. They're so fun. So fun.
So I was shared a report that Expedia did last week at the Short Stay Show about the path to purchase. And it's shifted over the years. So I remember growing up, you know, the family would book the trip and then we would do all this research, you know, figure out where we want to go within the trip and know what we're getting ourselves into. But Expedia has basically came out with a report saying that the first thing that comes is inspiration, obviously. 3 out of 5 travelers does not know where they want to go when they're starting their journey. It's not, you know, it's not going back to the same beach house every summer like some of us might have grown up doing.
You mean it's not dictated by other people's weddings?
That's Brandy's world.
Certain phases of life, it's very much dictated that way. But even those weddings were inspired by something. The bride did the research and then they booked it, right? And then the booking window is down to in the, 38 days, which is pretty tight relative to where it used to be.
Yeah, that's actually a part that was really interesting to me. And I would be really interested to see Expedia's like deeper data on that in particular, because for smaller room types like studio, one bedroom, even two bedrooms, like that doesn't seem too odd. That like kind of fits in line with like our data. But then I would be curious, like if you're booking the six bedroom home, like the group trip, are you still falling in that like shorter booking window? And I would hazard a guess that, yeah, like it's maybe it's not 38 days, maybe it's 42, but like, you know what I mean? Like I think that people really are waiting a lot longer. They're not booking 8 months in advance and then planning, like you said.
Yeah. So the average traveler will view 141 pages of content in the 45 days leading up to the trip. And that constitutes 303 minutes of travel content consumption prior to booking a trip. So they're doing some serious research leading up to it. The article says, the research says, the first thing they do is look at social media. And then essentially they move from social media into, which is the inspiration phase, into the research phase, which could be your websites. So the content that you're putting out on socials and the content that you're building to drive web traffic and answer the questions that folks have. It leads into our discussion last week. You know, AI is now getting punished for having, you know, content built on your site. Make sure it's relevant. Go through your own customer journeys. Have your friends and family go through it and make sure it's easy to do. The content answers the questions that people have. So I think it makes total sense. It is maybe a little bit different than how some of us grew up booking, but at the same time, it is exactly how I book now. So times have changed, and you know, people are very visually oriented first, and then they want to learn more behind the image, dive into the research and content, and then ultimately book about a month out.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty incredible because Brandy, I gotta give, you know, good old Doug Truitt a shout out here, because we were talking last week and we're kind of talking about the overall kind of role, not even role is probably not the best word, but vacation rental or short-term rental inventory being looked at as a product. You have to have the right distribution kind of model for that, or as what Doug would say, the billboard effect. Like you just need to be on as many billboards as possible, right? And I think what, you know, Expedia is showing kind of from this data, at least this is how I look at things too. Like when I'm shopping on Amazon, if there's not a picture that showcases like the little accessories that are showcased in other pictures, I get concerned. I'm like looking at all these little things, right? And so the same thing with vacation rentals or even a hotel kind of vacation. I think, I don't know why, maybe we shifted this behavior from, I used to be able to just like, oh, I know exactly where I want to go, book, do all the research as I'm gearing up towards the actual trip. But maybe the way that we shop for actual products from Amazon to whatever is now impacting the way we shop for experiences and travel. Because I'm very much the same now. Like it's taking me a little bit more longer. Maybe I'm not even connecting my points together. So I could just be butchering this whole thing. So you guys are fully welcome to step in. But basically, like the way I shop is very different, more research kind of dedicated rather than just like the buy now button or the book now button. So I'm curious if you guys shop any differently versus the way you book travel.
It's really interesting because the way that I travel has changed. I used to do a lot more research. And I think this just comes from like when I was traveling more as like in my early 20s, I didn't have as much work to do. but now like it's kind of like do kind of the research around you know, flights and where we're going to stay, and then all of the other stuff you have like a general idea. And I think that's kind of where the pre-flight and accommodation part is like, you know, I have an Instagram folder. It's like trips I'd want to go on, and it's like I don't know. Unfortunately, there's like way too many Amon Geary-esque properties there that I can't afford to stay in. But it is like, you know, that's kind of like formulating the thought of where you're going to go. And this is actually the point about like the content on your sites. I actually like your website. Yes, all should have the good content, the stuff that Google is going to actually rank high, blah, blah, blah. But then really like social media and like Instagram, TikTok, that's where you're getting those initial seeds planted. And that's why we have these like, yeah, that's why you have these like influencer destinations like Tulum that just get totally overrun, because it's the algorithm. Like once you start seeing one post about Tulum that you go on to, it just now you're looking at like 3,000 posts about Tulum. And that's one person's journey, and multiply that by like all the people that are looking. So I think that like, you know, I go back and forth about influencer marketing for our own business because we've just had some like really bad experiences with people.
Yeah.
But if you can get the right people, you might not see direct correlation to your bookings, but you will get really great content. You will get like promoted out there, and it might just take a little while to see that ROI. But, you know, I think if your social media is really important, in case you haven't come to that conclusion yet.
It's the untrackable part. You can't track the inspiration moment to book. You can't track it. It's just not possible.
So this might be a bold statement, but I don't think it's on you, Brandy, to inspire people to go to Miami or to New Orleans. I think the local DMOs, I mean, Visit Florida does a fantastic job, but you know, Miami, I think they've done a pretty good job too, right? It's been a hot destination, but it's really up to how well do you and all the other accommodations providers work with the DMOs, and how well are they funded, and how much business can they actually drive? And once you do that, then you can start answering the content questions. Are we a good fit for families? Are we a better fit for couples or business travel? So yeah, don't sleep on DMOs. They're, You mentioned how Tulum became a hotspot. My guess is that there were some really good DMO activities within the Yucatan down there. So I don't know that for a fact, but when certain campaigns have done a great job, it's typically led by the DMOs. And then a second point, you know, Sir Jamie Lane has come on this show many times telling us that supply growth at Airbnb has been wild. There's hotels opening left and right all the time. I wonder how much the shift of our behavior of booking properties is a result of how much supply there is versus how much demand there is, right? I know I can fly into New York City the day of and book a flight that night. It's never like a hotel tonight, right? It's never an issue. But if you want that beach house in Destin in prime, you know, 4th of July week, you better book that 6 months in advance, minimum, maybe even further, right? So it's somewhat a blend of the supply-demand function. And, you know, our confidence or flexibility of, okay, I've done enough research on this market. There's plenty of places to stay. I don't need to book it. So let's just wait.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, especially. And like, I think, you know, urban operators probably feel this a lot. Like, to your point, in New York, like, you're just going to, like, you know, book it last minute. And we see that down here, even in like, for like peak, some like peak events. Yeah, obviously people are booking more in advance, but there is still this kind of like, the accommodation isn't necessarily that important. Everything is like within like a standard deviation of each other. So if we get some, like the price, we want something that's like cheap and like, okay, you know, has a pool, is like in the area that we want to go to. I think it really, the traveler behavior, I mean, throughout this report, it's like, yeah, price is obviously one of the most important things. And it's like, yeah, you know, and especially if you're traveling with a bigger group, you have more options in the sense that your dollar goes a lot further. You can get something maybe a bit nicer. But yeah, if you're a smaller group or you're a couple or whatever, like, you're maybe not as picky about where you're staying if price is the most important thing. Yeah, I find all of this to be incredibly interesting. I would be like it would be a much bigger study, but to go in like on demographics, like, and kind of like what people are really looking for, because this is obviously done, you know, by Expedia with a certain sample size. But I think like anecdotally, the way that I travel and the way I know some people travel is not the way, you know, everybody travels. So I would be just curious what is actually most important.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. And you know, I think of people like Ben Wolf, right, who are just crushing at social media. And yep. So they definitely nailed the inspiration part. They get all the other stuff. I'm sure they're seeing probably shorter booking windows, especially after seeing an Instagram post or a viral TikTok or whatever kind of thing that, you know, they've put out. But like my, I guess, big curiosity would be, and I didn't read the full report. I got to glance at it this morning, but I would be in the searchability of amenities. Because like one thing I know for me is if I don't know the destination I want to go to, I know for sure I want a hot tub or a pool or X, Y, and Z things, right? So I want to be able to search those first. And I know like AirDNA launched an amenities feature for investment. Like you can obviously look at your competitors and kind of see the amenities. But the big piece from the booking process for me is showcasing the amenities rather than just putting a filter check mark on the listing, basically. So I don't know. I'd rather see some changes or maybe some updates from OTAs. I know like obviously Airbnb is doing differently on this, but searching amenities and being able to search that first and then maybe get inspired from what's available. I don't know. It could be kind of a reverse order, but I think there's a couple different ways for that approach on my opinion.
Nice. And then the other piece that jumped out to me within this data, kind of common sense, but the first thing people look at is beautiful images. If you don't have beautiful imagery, if your photography is trash, fix that right away. That is basic table stakes at this point. The next most important thing in the traveler journey is almost a dead heat, which is special deals and highlighting experiences. So it is becoming more and more about visuals first, justifying that with price, and then learning what you're going to do as the experience at the property or at the city or the destination. So those are kind of the winning formula. Package up, you know, a private chef and make that a special deal once a month. Have a spa treatment added to any honeymoon stay, right? Whatever it is, create those special deals, highlight those experiences. And, you know, those lifestyle photos, I think so many of us have focused on property image shots and we're just as guilty of it as anybody. We've got beautiful properties, but you got to highlight the people doing the experiences you can do at the property so they can put themselves in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's another point that I thought was really interesting was about membership, because we've talked a lot about that, especially with like airline points and stuff like that. And one of the questions is like, are you the importance of booking with a membership? And, you know, the overwhelming majority said it's either moderately or extremely important, but then the willingness to pay more for booking with the membership, 36% said no, and 46% said only slightly more. So what that kind of tells me is like people want the benefit. Everyone wants to feel important or special. Everyone wants to board first or get the upgrade or whatever it is, but no one really wants to pay for it. And I think that that's where there's this misalignment. And, you know, that's, you know, you have like with Marriott, for example, you have there with Homes and Villas, you have people that are Bonvoy members that are booking short-term rental places. And they're like, I'm a platinum member. And then they have these expectations of what they're going to get at the property. But they paid the same amount as someone who booked on Expedia or your own OTA. So it's kind of like managing expectations around rewards. And then for the general public, are people really willing to pay more for more service or whatever? And you know where those things are mismatched or not. So I love this most importantly because of the One Key program, which we really haven't seen any data on. I mean, it's relatively new, so maybe in the next year Expedia will have, you know, more information on what that program is like and the, you know, the purchasing behavior that those One Key members have.
Yeah, I wouldn't So I agree. People don't want to pay extra to feel, well, people pay extra to feel special all the time. The VIPs at this or that. But people want that loyalty to be the perk. So I do want to board first if I'm flying Delta, because I am platinum, because I have flown a bunch on Delta, right? I'm not going to pay extra because I've already essentially paid my dues.
Exactly.
In traveling lots. So yeah, I mean, I think, and to that point, I book direct every time I fly on Delta. I probably pay a premium to fly them versus someone else. So there's a bit of that. I think that's tougher to pull off as an OTA, because it's, you just don't control the experience. But I do like the One Key program, and I am, like you said, fascinated to see data once some of that becomes well formed.
Yeah, and I really can't believe that Airbnb hasn't come out with their own version yet. I imagine I have to feel like that's coming soon. I think about all of the free stays I could have potentially garnered in the last 12 years if they had a program.
Yeah,
we'll see. Free places, we'll see. Everywhere. Something we've been talking about for a while, you know, is what one's going to come up with it really first. And it seems like Expedia so far on that front, but we'll see. Airbnb could always wow us. You never know. We'll take a gander one day.
Something's in the works over there.
Yeah, always is. Always is. Well, good episode. Good Monday. Anything exciting for you guys this week before we wrap up the show?
Just off to New Orleans and then another bachelorette party. So,
gosh, you're just living the dream.
Tough life.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about you, Golden?
Just heads down, getting stuff done, you know? Nothing wild this week.
That's what I like to hear.
What about you? You opening up those new hotels?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Getting ready to crank out some fun stuff. A lot of it coming into this kind of conversation, working at the customer journey, going through every flow of automated message versus our guest service team messaging versus blah blah blah. So yeah, getting ready to play with a lot of workflows, and it's gonna be a fun week. Workflows and
espressos. And AI.
But shout out to Paul. Sorry your comment did not come into our streaming software, but Paul left a great comment on our LinkedIn and I did not see it come through. So we'll make sure to figure out why that's happening next time. But outside of that, you guys know what to do next week. Like and subscribe. If you are in Europe, stay tuned. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, our European crew episode is going live. And then we're back with Sarah and Steve on Wednesday. And they're going to be filming in person down in Miami. So get ready. That's going to be too much energy to handle in one early morning. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good time. But you guys know what to do. We'll see you all again next week.